The Voices of East Harlem with Right On, Be Free. The group started as a grassroots community chorale in 1969 under the direction of Charles Chuck Griffin and his wife, Anna Griffin. Its members were between 12 and 21 years of age. Right On, Be Free was a very popular single. The group released on the Elektra label in 1970, just a year after it was formed. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we start off with a little bit of bad news, and that is that the Secretary of Education is not any longer a theoretical thing, but it's real now. Mrs. DeVos has been confirmed. Betsy DeVos has been confirmed as Education Secretary. And later on tonight, we have a decision coming with regard to President Trump's executive order banning entry into the United States from seven Muslim-majority countries. That is going to be decided tonight. But this is a real awful blow that the Secretary of Education is Betsy DeVos, who has absolutely, and she admitted that, she has absolutely no experience at all in the administration of an educational entity, let alone educational policy. But she was questioned when she was questioned by the committee that was looking into whether she should even be nominated. It was Bernie Sanders who asked her whether it was true, whether she could confirm that she and her family over a couple of years had actually given in excess, or he said, between $200 million and $400 million to the Republican Party. And she couldn't exactly remember the number, but she said, you know, essentially, who pays attention to these things? I do know that I supported the Republican Party, but I supported many other initiatives as well. She is, of course, a philanthropist. So it wouldn't be a stretch to say this office was bought and paid for. Now, in some countries, and I think we should examine that as a legislative initiative, it may not go very far, but in countries where these things happen and they so offend the logic and sensibilities of people, there ought to be a law that equates this to an act of treason. It rises to that level of treason. When people can give money and, if not immediately, but eventually get a very high position in government, even when they're not at all qualified, then I think we should raise the question about raising the ante on this. This is so illegal. It is so wrong. It's so objectionable. It should rise to that level of prosecution and punishment. But then you look at it and you say, you see, it's not just the Republicans, it's the Democrats, because, you know, we had President Obama. That was a major topic on our program, having a person with no qualifications at all, barely scraped through with a bachelor's degree, and that was in sociology. But he was very well connected in Chicago, and what do you know? He became the Secretary of Education, and need we discuss what the status of education has been under the Obama administration and now will continue to be under the Trump administration? Well, I want to talk today, or put us all in thinking mode. There are no right answers or wrong answers, but it is something designed to get us thinking again, because we really will have to end up doing the work of setting things straight, because, you know, we went from pillar to post here. In many ways, we are on our own. And we cannot look to government, and we cannot trust that the government will do the right thing. Over and over again, governments show that they are incapable of doing the right thing because of the countervailing influence of corruption and absolute recklessness. This particular vote by Betsy DeVos, on Betsy DeVos anointing her Secretary of Education, it's not that she was so good and the Republicans were so good at getting her through. It is that the Democratic Party is so abysmal, so incompetent, and so unwilling to engage in doing their jobs. They couldn't even mount a credible effort to defend public education because they were very busy doing their own thing. Absolutely sure that another term for the Democrats will be in within reach with this election, and they didn't have to worry. So they were not prepared to mount a really serious and competent fight. And beyond that, this has been going on for the entire 8 years under Obama, and they just decided to give Donald Trump at least another 4 on top of that to systematically destroy public education. That's the problem. So if there's anything to be done in the way of helping to hold on to public education, which is a great value in this country, at least for the vast majority of people who cannot afford private schools, but their children are a wonderful source of revenue, because this is exactly where DeVos is going. Let's just simply, you know, bring in more and more charter schools, although the records of charter schools are just so poor. But it doesn't matter. But she's a double whammy in that not only does she favor charter schools, she also favors heavy religious programs and a heavy devotion, pardon that pun, in charter schools to Christian concepts. That in itself is a very unchristian thing to do, but it is feasible in the United States, where there are people who can and do determine how you're going to live, what you're entitled to, what your children are entitled to. They make those decisions, not you. So I thought we'd talk today, and this was since yesterday when I put the program together, that we should consider and reconsider this concept of freedom, the meaning of freedom. What is it supposed to be? What is it supposed to do? It's a very, very powerful word, but we don't seem to know what it is. It seems to have very broad meaning, even though supposedly the concept of freedom is supposed to be very, very specifically defined. But we still don't know what it's supposed to be, what it's supposed to do. Who is entitled to freedom? Who is denied it? How do we access this thing called freedom? Is it attainable? In the era of Trump, just merely weeks old, the question of freedom clearly has ceased to be a rhetorical one. With all these things just happening, laws being made outside of congressional input or action and made impetuously, we get mugged. Our freedom is yanked away, literally with a stroke of a pen. Or in some cases, it could be returned to you, also at whim. That's what's going to happen tonight when the court decides whether it's constitutional. They call it a constitutional matter. But actually, it is about freedom, the same concept of freedom, which is said to be universal in application. But all around, every single day, there are reminders that freedom is not to be taken for granted. Freedom is a very fluid and ever-evolving concept. It is clear that not all of us are meant to be free. Not all of us are meant to enjoy what was said so long ago to be one of the inalienable rights. But now we are seeing, I mean, it's right there before us, we can't ignore it. The question that we should be pondering is this very basic social question. What's freedom? And what is freedom, more importantly, in the immediate situation in the era of Trump? In this time that we're living in, and the concept of freedom all as well, you know that, it has universal, global application. The question, people are dealing with this in one way or the other, all over the world. I mean, we can go back as a global nation, we are supposed to have a concept that all countries should be aware of this idea of freedom and the practice of the idea, the application of the idea, the definition of the idea. But we see where even that concept has changed. Some countries have a definition of freedom that says particular things, of course, but it says very little about other things that are important. In some cases, it says nothing at all. You cannot assume that you have freedom. And in other societies, they're doing more and more to put more elastic into that concept of freedom. That the state does not own you, does not own your life. And so as much latitude as can be given for people to enjoy this thing called freedom, they are doing all that they can to put some elastic in that concept. People feel safer. They feel that there is a sense of independence that's real. And nobody gives you freedom. It's supposed to be an automatic thing. This is the interesting thing about freedom. But we have talked here this week, as we observed Black History Month, we've been talking about the fact that freedom to some is hell to others. And that in some cases, people are prepared to put their lives on the line for this notion, this concept of freedom. So what is freedom? We told about the famous four freedoms, you know, that you have the right to life, the freedom of religion, all these freedoms that we're supposed to have as a common understanding all over the world. But it isn't working that way. One could even argue it never has worked that way. It was simply a statement meant to control the actions of the world, at least the nations of the world, and to attempt some kind of alignment with human values. And of course, they always bring God into it. God gets brought into some of the most unusual things. And the idea of freedom, this prevailing idea of freedom, is one of the things that very godly nations should afford and do everything to protect their citizens as they seek to exercise their freedoms. But we still really haven't decided what freedom really is. We heard yesterday of African Americans fleeing slavery and heading further south in pursuit of what they understood to be their freedom. The flip side of that coin was that the states they were fleeing from understood freedom to mean their right and authority to curtail the other people's freedom. Because their freedom, if exercised, would ruin financially and culturally even, financially, economically, politically, ruin the design of society, what it was supposed to be for and who it was supposed to serve. And those people fleeing were not part of that equation. They were not entitled to freedom. The very thing that they wanted and needed, they were deprived of, and by force. They literally had to pick up arms and fight for, this war went on for more than 5 or 6 decades, the longest war with the greatest casualties in the United States before the Vietnam War. That is remarkable. So I'm going to ask us all to put on our thinking caps here and come to terms with this idea and notion of freedom. What does it mean in today's world? Do we have it? In what ways would you say the United States is a land of freedom? How would you compare today's notion of freedom, if you think it has changed? How has it changed? What would you point to as signs of freedom in the United States? And if you're a little conversant with history, you can do a compare and contrast. What did freedom mean? Has it always meant exactly the same thing over the years? Has it changed? Do people who talk a lot about their freedoms, are they really just assuming things, or do they really believe themselves to be free? And if so, how, what supports the argument of freedom? So we'll take this little break and come back to your calls and your thoughts on the subject at 888-874-4888. Freedom is on our minds today. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead. And as we take your calls at 888-874-4888, we're discussing freedom and concepts of freedom. I just want to remind you that do a little bit of housekeeping here, having to do with accessing the program by phone. And this is a way of building the audience, even members from your audience. We took that to heart and expanded the numbers of ways that you can be in touch with PRN when you're on the go. Apart, of course, from the regular way that you get the program, there's a way to listen to the program live on phone if you call this number, 712-775-6850. That's 712-775-6850. And there's a way also to listen to the last five programs of Lead Stories, and that's at 701-719-9977. 701-719-9977. It's a way we're trying to just make sure that people are aware of all, as many ways as possible to listen to PRN. Okay, let's start with Jose from New York. This concept of freedom, hello. What does it mean to you?
Hello, Mr. Treasley. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
I would like to say that we are free to be slaves to our debt. We are free to go as far as our salaries allow us to go, but we're not free to set our salaries. And we could enjoy life so long as we could work for slave wages.
The whole idea of freedom, have you ever thought about it exactly in this way that you're talking today? Or had you had an entirely different definition of freedom?
Well, I left my corporate job. And I became an entrepreneur. So I'm realizing the tough way and the hard way what type of freedoms I do have. So I'm actually a living proof of it.
Okay. When you were in the corporate world, what was the difference in your interpretation of freedom? What you were allowed to do, what your rights were? How far could you go? Were there limits? Or did you just understand it to be that as long as you can, you know, accommodate or fulfill the basics of life, you're okay. And being independently employed even added more to that concept now, that you can do more on your own and without much interference. Was there a difference in the way you viewed freedom then and the way you view freedom now?
There is a huge difference. So long as I made the right choices for the corporation, I had as much freedom to do as what I chose. But now that I'm looking to have the same opportunity for myself, I don't have the freedom of available funds that were available in the corporate world that I have now. It's a lot tougher for me to be able to get funding for what I'm looking to do now. And the limits are endless.
Now, here's the thing. So far, what I've gotten from you is that you clearly defined freedom in terms of economic freedom. Is there any other way in which you define freedom?
Well, it's just that it has a large, in the society that we do live in, it has a large weight on your choices that you make. On the relationships you could have, the time you could have for your family, the time you could have to read a book, the time you can decide to put aside to actually learn something new. It's all limited and tied to that, unfortunately.
Is there, in your view, apart from the way you consider freedom, is there in your consciousness a way that freedom is defined by society, the powers that be?
I wish I could answer that for you clearly, but I need to think about it a little bit more.
Well, thank you for getting us started. I really appreciate it. Very interesting observations. Thank you. Let's go to Ariel from Michigan. Hello?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I believe that freedom is the right to choose and decide what we believe is right for us, what we believe is in our best interest, including, well, everything, healthcare, religion, whatever it is. And it's just so sad that people are still fighting for their freedom who have fought and died so many years ago. And I listened to yesterday's program. It was very educating.
So, how do you define freedom for yourself?
How I define it is that I have the right to choose what is best for me.
And if it is not the best for you, if somebody else says that is not the best for you, what do you then determine your freedom to be within that context? Somebody saying, well, you may think that it's right for, let's say, to put your garbage out to be picked up on a Monday. But other people would say, no, that's not a good idea. What would you do when other people, other than you, of course, decide what your freedom should be, that there should be certain limits to your freedom, because left to your own devices and your own power to determine your own freedom, you will be affecting negatively other people's freedom?
That's a great question. I would ask them why, and I would ask them why specifically how important it is that it has to be done then. It's like when we're kids and we ask why, and what are we told? Because I said so. And they'll often say, oh, this is for your own good. Yeah. And then they'll say, well, I'm doing this for, like, say, if they spank the child and they say, well, this is hurting me more than it's hurting you. Yeah, right.
How far are you willing to go on the basis of what you believe to be your principled position and your freedom?
I don't know. It scares me to think that I could be forced to do something that I believe with all my heart will cause damage and is damaging to me and other people. And it scares me to even think of what I would do. And when I heard about the people on the boat who committed suicide rather than to be made as slaves, it's like, I hope it doesn't come to that.
Well, we all hope it doesn't come to that. But yeah, for some people, that is, believe it or not, death under those circumstances is an ideal form of freedom. Mm-hmm. They have freed themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they have affirmed their right to be free by mm-hmm. killing themselves.
That's sad.
You see that in many, many societies.
Yeah.
You see it in many military accounts where people prefer, rather than be conquered, they take their own lives.
Mm-hmm. Very sad. Well, thank you for having me on, and I will continue to listen.
Great to hear from you. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Chris from Lawrence, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Trace.
Hello. Wow, you sound like you're in a time warp in there somewhere.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have a bad connection. I'm like way out in Suffolk County.
Okay, we can hear it now.
Yes. Hello to the PRN listeners and staff. And I wanted to speak about this notion of freedom. And,
yes.
Yeah, and to say, I don't know, I think freedom at this point might be a bit more advanced than what we're ready for. I mean, when I look at the truest expressions of freedom in the world today, the sad thing is to see what someone looks like and what someone behaves like when they're completely free, you technically would have to look at an ExxonMobil exec. That is someone who is technically free. They can destroy oceans, land, kill people, and technically just get away with it. And I think that is an extreme version of what freedom would look like on this planet with our current level of education. And I would say that outside of freedom, which is technically what gives people, or what gives people the delusion, or what gives people the actual power to do horrible things, I think a better expression of what we might be thinking freedom would be more of an understanding of what it takes for us all to look after each other and make advances for our human race. I think that's more what we could get to before we could get to freedom, is some understanding of the responsibility that we technically naturally should have for each other. I don't know that freedom is the best thing. And again, when we go back to freedom, we see things like freedom of speech, and it's used to make arguments for hate mongers to go to colleges and give speeches. And they say freedom of speech. But I mean, again, we're arguing that someone who is lying should be allowed to speak in an institution that is based on education, based on truth. So again, I don't know that this world is even ready for that word freedom prior to understanding our responsibilities for each other.
In the last couple of decades, could you find an example that illustrates your point?
My point that we're not ready for freedom?
I'm not suggesting that we're not ready. I'm just saying that to illustrate the strength of your argument, could you tell us in the last couple of decades, give us an example of how it manifested itself?
My philosophy on freedom, or?
Yeah, we could go with that. I'll go with that.
Okay. Well, for some years ago, I worked in a psychiatric unit in the city. And the things that I saw that people were capable of doing, be they It could be considered a loss of self-control, or it could be considered their delusional sense of freedom to do as they please. It seems to be the same thing sometimes. And between police officers killing their wives, teenagers raping adolescents, freedom to me would be, in its current state, it would be a lack of controls. And I think we're already at a point where there's a lack of control, especially when it comes to what can go wrong in this world.
And do you see any relationship at all between the power of the state over what we believe to be our individual freedoms?
Well, as it stands, the people, they seem to agree that the state, be it Republican or Democrat or whatever it is, that they should have the right to tell us. And the sad, and that goes back to my point of we're not even ready to understand freedom for ourselves. I mean, people are begging and fighting for who's going to be in charge of us. That doesn't sound like a people who want freedom. That sounds like a people who, like the last caller said, want to say to each other, "I told because I said so." That's kind of what it sounds like. That's the world we're in right now. And it goes on both sides. I mean, granted, one side in most instances is right. If you want clean energy, you're absolutely right. You know, but are we getting there through saying I'm right and you're wrong? And if we somehow got the power to get rid of all fossil fuels, I mean, would there be a war prior to that happening? And would so many people die that who would be left after this? Yeah, after this tug of war over who has the freedom to do what before we know exactly what it is or who we are supposed to be for each other.
So, as a kind of, let's just put a little suggestion in the suggestion box for the time being, as we wrestle with this question over who is free and under what conditions are you free, what is a good way to get a handle on this in the short term?
Well, a good way to get a handle on who's free. I think as far as I'm concerned, we all know who's free. But I think we have to start thinking outside of everything we're told represents our freedom. People are fighting, like arguing over jobs right now. And truthfully, if our minds were truly free to think, we would come to some understanding that we shouldn't be looking for more work. We should be looking for less work and more time to think and wonder what's going to happen to our planet. And are we going to populate other planets? We shouldn't be thinking about how much time we can spend at work down here. We should be thinking about how to free up people so that they can start having these conversations and coming to these understandings. So in the meantime, I would say stop asking for what you're told you need and start thinking about what we all need.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Philosopher there, great ideas. Desiree from New York, you're on the air. What is your definition of freedom?
Hi, you ladies, and hi, PRN listeners.
If you could speak directly into the phone, because we're picking up a lot of reverberation from wherever you are.
Is that better?
Much better. Thank you.
Okay. I wanted to say that mentioning the last caller, when he was giving examples of free people, I wouldn't necessarily say ExxonMobil tycoons are free people. Because they still have to, they're not financially free. Because in order for them to continue to feed the greed that they go for, they have to keep making deals, putting things in certain So they're not free. I would say a free person or free people would be anyone that is not in a first world country. I think, not necessarily third world, but I would say, you know, somewhere in like the Amazon where there's tribal people, that is freer than what we are now. Now free, but do they still have to do things? Yeah, they still have to do things, but I would define freedom as somewhat to what the female caller before me had said. I understand what I need, and I should be able to do things that I feel are best for me, and that does not bring harm to me or others. And should someone come to me and say, I don't believe that's good for you, I'm open enough to take that opinion, look at it, and be able to change. There was a statement said in the show yesterday. It was a quote from Marcus Garvey. And in order for you to make change, you have to change how you think. You have to change your mentality. And if we changed our mentality to a freer type of thinking where I see a system that I live in and I make moves and changes to change myself in that system, I'm becoming freer. All right, I may be shackled up in chains, but I can see that there's genetically modified food. I can see that I'm going to say I don't want that vaccine. I'm not sure. I feel like I went all over the place. I had so much to say.
No, but it's exciting to me because I'm hearing your brain ticking. And that's great. It's a good sound.
Yes. All right. I'll let you go. But that's how I feel.
All right. Thank you very much, Desiree, for calling in today. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Hello, you trees. Good to
Hello
talk
there.
With you. You know, the word freedom to me is a type of word that is a favorite rhetorical word that people use. And especially those people at the top. To me, freedom cannot be separated from the word justice. Freedom and justice go together. Now, that takes us to the next step, to look at this society, which is run by a small ruling class, an oligarchy, and it has a system that it runs. And when you think about it, logically, the system is not very very happy about freedom. A system like this, a capitalist system, is interested in a number of things. Control. That's one thing. Control economically, politically, and socially. And this does not lend itself to real freedom. But they are good at rhetorical flourishes, as George Bush did after the destruction of the World Trade Center. And he was asked, oh, why would anyone do that? And he said, oh, they don't like our freedom. That's what he said. So the point I'm making is that rhetorically, that's a nice word for some people, but the facts are that those in charge want to control people. They want to give people the illusion of freedom, like some of these jive elections where they allow you to vote and they tell you that that's giving you freedom. But what they don't emphasize is the fact they select the people that they allow you to vote for, either Republican or Democrat, and they arrange the whole system to maintain one party broken into two divisions and try to convince you as a result of this that you have freedom. And that's the last thing they want you to have. They want control economically, socially, and politically.
Well, amen. Absolutely. The freedom, when we talk about freedom in the context of voting, the vast majority of people get involved or are allowed to get involved with the process of election, but the process of selection is confined to a very tight, small circle with the power to determine the outcome by giving the, absolutely right, by giving people the impression that they are participating, they are power sharing in participating in elections. But actually, the vast majority of people will be participating in electing people who have been pre-selected by a hidden process that is out of reach, out of their reach. Great example. Thanks so much. Go ahead, you could finish up.
I want to say something about the very common term freedom of speech. Now, you know, we're told that we have freedom of speech. However, there are limitations on that. There's certain limitations that you have to abide by. You can't talk about certain things. Anybody that's, for example, critical of Israel or something like that, there'll be sanctions against you. Anytime you say something negative about any kind of religious organization, there may be sanctions there too. So there are limitations on so-called freedom. So the long and short of it, as I see it, it's freedom. The term freedom is a nice rhetorical term that's thrown around, and it's basically rhetoric and propaganda. Thank you.
Thank you. Henry from Chicago, how you been?
Hey, Therese, how's it going?
All righty, I'm hanging in. Your thoughts on this concept of freedom?
All right. So you got the philosophy class going on today, so I think I'll take a shot at it.
Well, actually, it grew out of yesterday, the lecture by Jan Carew.
Yeah, so, and then the previous callers have all given, you know, very excellent answers, and then actually it's been changing my thought for each caller that I've been listening to. But I'm going to, you know, freedom is definitely a very, how should I put it? It's a very vast term. You know, it sounds simple, but it's not as simple as people, you know, think it is, because of the fact that freedom involves various, you know, human activities, you know, like economics and politics and whatever. But I think I'm going to make my attempt to break it down to the simplest form, that freedom is the ability to live your current situation and choose your destiny based on the limitations or non-impediments based off of thought, action, and resources that are available to you.
Okay, so here's a direct question. Are you free?
No.
Why would you say that?
Because of the fact that even though, there are certain areas, well, I would say in most of my life I'm not free. There are some areas that I am, but most of my life, you know, I would say no, because of the fact that, you know, I have to adhere to somebody, you know, in terms of economics, because of the fact that, you know, I work for somebody and they determine, you know, what my salary is. And, you know, when you go to the economic part of it, I will say that I will admit to myself that even my thoughts aren't completely free because of the fact that, you know, I'm still in the process of kind of like unlearning a lot of things that I have learned in, you know, most of my life. So it's sort of like I'm still going through a process of kind of like, you know, washing my thoughts from all the stuff that I've, you know, learned as a child and learned in college and learned this. And most of it, you know, were lies, you know, that were told to me. So, you know, I'm trying to, you know, even get myself mentally free, you know, so I can actually, you know, make clearer decisions to control my own destiny, you know, for me, for my family, and for my, you know, for the community as a whole.
Well, guess what? That's an excellent position to be in, because it means that you have arrived at and you continue to work at developing a level of consciousness that will in turn inform your decisions, your actions. This is great. So it's not a bad thing to say, well, I'm not completely free. I don't know anybody who's completely free, myself included, because you realize very often, you know, sometimes it lands on you like a ton of bricks, and you just express it very simply that many of us spend a very long time, most of our lives, in a state of you know, like a hostage. We're hostage to a system that makes critical decisions for us and about us. Mm-hmm. And it's just music to my ears when I hear people struggling, but consciously struggling, to move in an entirely different direction and to shed all of this that had been hamstringing you all these years, and you are seeing a new way to move in life. This is incredible. That's fantastic.
Yeah, because Eutrice, if I were completely free, I wouldn't be listening to the show. I wouldn't have to be doing any work out in the street. You know, then that's the truth. It's like if I was completely free, I wouldn't need none of this.
Well,
but I know that I'm not, so.
Yeah, we all are in the same boat, actually. Because there are a lot of people who believe themselves to be free and have no idea about how deeply imprisoned they really are. Mm-hmm. But it's a process. Freedom is an all-encompassing process. Our economics, our politics, our morals, our feelings about ourselves, all these things are wrapped up in the notion of what you construe freedom to be. And then it's at an individual level, and it's at a societal level, because we also live within a construct where we always have to be keeping in mind what that process is outside of us and how it works and how we should adjust to work successfully against it, without it having to destroy ourselves. So it's a very complicated thing.
Yes, it is.
do you think, what could you point to in your life that you can say, okay, I consciously freed myself from problem A or problem B, and now I'm in a different place because of it?
I would say part of my process of thinking, I just, you know, I guess an example is of politics. You know, my thinking of politics has, you know, I'm somewhat free of it because now I'm not, you know, I'm not a Democratic voter anymore. Matter of fact, I don't vote for any of the main parties, you know, when it comes to Democrats and Republicans. Because I know, you know, what they're up to, and what they are not for, you know, the people, you know, of this country. So it's like when I read more, and see, that's the thing about it, you know, educating yourself, you mentally become more and more freer because of the fact that one of the processes of mental freedom is breaking down the restrictions of your thought process. You know, because sometimes our thought processes are so restricted by, you know, what we see on TV, you know, and what people tell us, instead of going and doing the research ourselves and discovering ourselves, you know, learning about things, and then making a free, you know, making a free decision based on what we discover, you know, what I have discovered. So, I guess that's somewhat of a free state of mind for me.
And it's a great place to be, really. If you don't continue, you know, you'll just die. If you don't continue this process, you'll die. The system is not particularly thrilled that people like you are around to infect other people with their whole idea of freeing themselves through thought and action based on that thought. Thanks so much for calling in today. Really appreciated it.
Thank you.
Brings us to the end of the program. Stay tuned. Coming up next is The Infectious Myth with David Crow. Please do share those numbers with folks who want to listen to the program while they're on the go, and let's grow this audience. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. As always, a pleasure and a great privilege to be in your company, and we'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.